Okay, I'm going to tell you all something right now, okay? I bring this up with me. I'm not going to open it. All of my verses are written right here. So I'm now going to put this down so I can move around more easily up here. What's that? I do. Thank you. Okay, there are a few more people here this afternoon than there were this morning. And I feel bad about that, because you're going to get the rest of the story without having gotten the first part of it. But we're just going to have to go with that. Just to give you a very, very quick overview of the morning. We had the opportunity to share about when we first moved in to Bisorio. It was a people group that had never seen a white man before. They had never heard of God. They knew nothing about the Bible. And we had the privilege of living with them, learning their language and culture, and teaching them. And we started off with 35 people, some of the Bisorios that lived way out in the hills would hear about the fact that we were teaching. They would come down, start listening. We'd say, go back and get your families. They'd say, no, we are not going to leave. I'm not going to miss out on this teaching. So we let them stay, and our numbers went up to 100. During the first 5 months of teaching, because we were teaching daily, 5 days a week, during the first 5 months, we taught once a day at their request. When we got into the New Testament, they said, you guys, I'm sorry, this is not enough. Once a day is not enough. We want to find out about this Redeemer. So we want you to teach us twice a day. We'll come on Saturday morning. We'll go get our food Saturday afternoon and Sunday. But we want you to speed up. We want to know more about this Jesus. So again, as I shared, the day before we really got into the New Testament, the day we presented Jesus Christ, the Bisorios were blown away when they found out that the promised Redeemer was none other than God's Son. That God's Son loved them enough to take on the body of a human. He loved them enough to come to this earth. They didn't know what he was going to do. All they knew was this was the one that had been promised back in the Garden of Eden. The one who would allow mankind to get back into right relationship with God. So again, we started teaching them about the miracles. Blind Bartimaeus, blind Bart, coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, experiencing his hand and being able to see for the first time, healing the lame, all of the miracles, one after another. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They loved him. We moved through the New Testament. The last thing I told you about was when we were up on the hillside one evening and we taught about Christ walking on the water, getting in the boat, saying, peace, be still. And that evening there was a storm coming in, whipping in. And we got done and they heard about how Christ just had to speak. Say, peace, be still, and the waves calmed down. It was complete peace, and the Bisorios just sat there. What am I hitting, brother?
I don't know.
Like I told you, if I can mess up anything in IT, I will. So in this particular situation, it's speakers. Anyway. All right, so Christ spoke and said, peace be still. The Bisorios just sat there. Is this all we get to hear? I'll stand still, Mike. I will stand still. It was just tremendous, you guys. George, Harriet, Nobi, and I had the opportunity to live with the people for 3 years. We had the privilege of seeing the Spirit of God at work in their lives, give them a spiritual hunger, a group of people, again, that were murderers, Satan worshipers, you name it. Their lives were despicable. Their lives were full of fear. Fear of the spirits, fear of Satan. Finally, the day came when we stood before them, and again, we're acting out the different things that were taking place in the Bible. I was taking the part of the Lord Jesus Christ. We went to the Garden of Gethsemane. I was captured. Judas came up, and he, a besotial man, was playing the part of Judas. He kissed me right on the cheek. Jesus' betrayal, and the besotios are shocked. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God, and this is happening to him? What's going on? And then they saw my hands tied behind my back, slapped in the face, beaten, and they could not believe it. They did not know what's happening to this man that we've fallen in love with. I will keep going. Okay, we got up there that night. They saw Christ captured in the Garden of Gethsemane. We told them, Besotios, we've lived with you for 3 years. Tomorrow is the day that we have come for. Tomorrow, you are going to have the chance to either become a child of God or remain in Satan's hand. But tomorrow is the day. You will either believe or you won't. And we told them, we're going to be honest with you. The majority of people in our country have heard this message, and they choose to not believe. Oh, please, please don't say that. We want to believe. We said, hey, it's up to you. It's not husband, wife. It's each individual. You will either accept God's desire for your lives, or you will reject it. And some of you will probably, no, don't say that, Bob. Don't say that. Anyway, we told them, tomorrow morning, we're going to get up early. We're going to turn on the generator at 5:30 in the morning before the sun comes up. When you hear the generator come on, we want you to get up, eat your food. We're going to call you early. We're going to have a longer session. We don't want you out in the hot sunlight for too long, so we're going to start a lot earlier. So when you hear the generator come on, get up and eat, and we'll call you. We stayed up the night before. First, we prepared a cross. The Besotios told us later, we were watching. We followed you into the woods and saw you making the cross. We had no idea what it was for. We had somebody go get a crown of thorns. They were watching. They were watching everything that we did. Quanua, again, comes up there. Bob, come here. Just tell me. You don't have to tell everybody else. Tell me what happens to Jesus. No, Quanua. You'll hear tomorrow just like everybody else. I want to hear tonight. I can't eat. I can't sleep. Well, you better eat something because we're not going to tell you until tomorrow. Anyway, their desire was there. We stayed up until 3 o'clock in the morning praying. God, if just one of them can accept you as Savior, this entire time will be worth it all. Just if even there's one, Lord, please draw them to yourself. We got up the next morning, started the generator, 5:30. We got together again, and just like we did before every session, we got down on our hands and knees, and we prayed, and we said, God, this is the morning. Please draw these people to yourself. We went to the door, called out, Besotio! Ifubabio! Besotio, come. Nobody moved. We cried out again, Besotio! Besotio, come! Nobody moved. We thought, what is going on? Finally, two young men came walking down the hill, and they said, would you guys please get up there? We've been waiting since the sun came up this morning. we walked up there, and you guys, I wish you could have seen it. The Bisorios were in a semicircle around where we had already dug the hole for the cross to go into. But the cool thing was, all across the sky, God placed a beautiful, perfect rainbow. The Bisorios knew the story of Noah and the ark. They knew that the rainbow was a sign of a promise from God. And they said, you know what? We saw the rainbow, and we knew it was God saying, Bisorios, pay attention. You're going to be hearing the most important message that you've ever heard. We acted out the crucifixion. Nails were driven between my fingers, not into my palms, between my feet. We had a balloon rigged up with red food coloring in it from when Christ was pierced in his side. There was a piece of foam on my back, and they got up there, and I mean, they wept. And the foam was there, but I could feel it through the foam. And I wanted them to really give it to me, for them to get an idea of what the Lord Jesus Christ went through for us. And they beat and they spat in my face. They hit me. And I tell you, just for a little bit, I experienced just a touch of what the Lord Jesus Christ went through for us. The women are over at the side, and they started wailing and crying. This is Jesus. This is the one we love. This can't happen to him. What is going on? We went ahead, acted out the crucifixion. The balloon worked perfectly, stabbed in the side. The red came out, and they jumped. And then they carried my body off to where we had a tomb, which was behind a piece of plywood. The resurrection was walking up the hill. We couldn't figure out how to get me in a cloud. That one didn't work. But we got done, and the Bisorios sat there. They still didn't get it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We went back to the examples in the Old Testament. Abraham and Isaac, the principle of substitution, the serpent on the pole, those who looked up to the serpent on the pole, their lives were spared. And then the final example that we used was Noah and the ark. There was one door, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who entered were saved. Those who remained outside, which was all of mankind, died and went into separation from God. We got done with that example, and there was a young man, and he was wearing a green ball cap, and he started pacing back and forth. And George said, Bob, I think Hamiyagu wants to say something. I called Hamiyagu up, and he said, you know what, you guys, I see it. I see now. It should have been you white men. And it should have been we Bisorios that died on the cross. But Jesus loved us so much, he took our place. He died in our place on the cross of Calvary. We said, Hamiyagu, that's right, you've got it. And then just then, an old man approximately 80 years old, I'm guessing. There's no way of knowing how old a Bisorio man was. They do not have any idea when their birth date was. But this was a man whose body was racked with tuberculosis, asthma. He should have died long before that time, but God spared him. And he raised his hand and he said, I want to say something. He said, I now understand Jesus was the Lamb of God. Jesus took my place on the cross of Calvary. We said, Hamiyagu, do you really believe that? He said, I do believe it. And we said, if you do, I want you to know you are now a child of God. And you guys, it was then just one after another after another. The lights clicked on. Kwanwa, the guy that said, please tell me. He got up and he stood up and he said, you know what? He said, I was laying on the ground. He said, there was poop next to me, pig poop. He said, I was rolling back and forth in it. I didn't care. Jesus was my Redeemer. I believed on him, and I became a child of God. And it was one after another. Nobi and I, Georgie and Harriet, we went down to the house. We didn't want it just to turn into a confessional. We stayed down as long as we could. We came back up the hill, and there was just rejoicing. The church in Bisorio was born that day. Out of the 100 people that were there, 70 of them gave a crystal clear profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Miley, one of my best friends, was down the hill. It was later in the day. And Nobi said to me, Bob, call Miley up here. He looks so sad. Maybe he doesn't understand yet. And I did. I called down, Miley, Ibe, come here. Miley got up and he walked a few steps and then he sat down again. I said, Miley, come here. He walked up partway, sat down again. I got up and I went down to him and I said, Miley, what is it? I said, don't you get it? Don't you understand yet what Jesus has done for you? And he says, Bob, I do understand. He said, I just can't believe that God would love me so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I remember that evening. We went up the hill, and right up where the cross had been, where we had pulled it out and put it on the ground, they had picked it back up, and they put it back in the hole. And there's Mawiba, and he's up there on the cross with his arms laid out. The Bisorios sang their first hymn that night. And it went, it was chronological. It started with the Garden of Eden. It went right straight through to the life of Christ, to Mary giving birth to Jesus, and Jesus dying on the cross. You guys, I love that woman right there. I love her dearly. I loved the day that we got married. But I will tell you, greater than that day was the day that the Bisorios placed their faith and trust in Christ, the day that the church was born. So anyway, you guys, that's the rest of the story. There's been a couple of questions come up. Nobody, you want to come up and just address some of the medical issues? We're going to have a time for question and answer if you have any questions for us in just a moment. Oh, sure.
You can mess up IT, we'll do it. I assure you.
Okay, yes, I'm just going to answer some questions from people that have been talking to us. And when we first went to the field, you guys know that it was pretty, it was in the 70s, so there wasn't a whole lot that was available for us. The mission asked us, and I'm not sure why, because we were, like, at the time I was only 24, Bob was 27, and they asked us to open this whole new area that they'd never even been through. And that would mean that we would have to pass like four different other tribes, none of whom had ever heard the gospel before. But somehow God in his grace just knew that this would be okay. And it's really interesting because since then, like, they all know Bob. So he's kind of like the papa of the river now, which is really cool. And a lot of those tribes today have had missionaries, and so now they have churches there too, so that's kind of exciting. We were definitely in a third world country. I told you that when we went to the field, I was 3 months pregnant, so I had Christy there in WEWAC, and that was a new experience. The day we went to the hospital, Bob came down with malaria, and he was just like burning up. And I remember it was like 11 o'clock at night, and I looked at him and I said, honey, I'm so sorry that you're sick right now, but right now it's not about you. I said, it's all about me, so let's just have this baby and then we'll take care of you. And I was serious because my babies come fast, and so I actually had Christy, we went in at like 11:30 and I had her at 1. But we go into this little hospital in WEWAC, and this little old man with his flip-flops was was sweeping the floor, and the midwife was there, and she said, oh, just find yourself a room. So we go, and we look, and we find a room, and I noticed all of what looked like rabbit cages, but I was so happy because they had screens all around them, and that would be for the babies, right? And I had brought some sheets, but I noticed that all of the curtains that were screened, they were all broken. And I'm like, okay, let's do this. And I remember praying, you know, like, Lord, please let this baby come fast, because I wanted to, you know, do it and just get home. So then I went and I had Christy, and all of a sudden I'm like, Bob, where's our girl? Where's our daughter? And so he runs out and he finds her like wrapped up in this like linen sheet on a counter. And he told me later that there was all these rats running around the counter that was there. So he brought Christy back to me, but the nurse had brought a pan of water so I could wash her. But a week before I went into the hospital, a pressure cooker had blown up in my face, so both of my arms were all bandaged. So there was no way. It was my whole front and then both of my arms. And there was no way I could wash her. So I'm just kind of like, you know, poor Bob, he was wasted at this point. And so I just kind of begged her to wash Christy, which she did. And then the next day, after that, I'm just like, I gotta get a shower. So the shower, seriously, I know, Sherry, it's so sad. I just needed a shower, and it didn't matter that there was like 6 inches of like moldy grime around the base of the shower, and it was like all gooey. And I'm just like, well, I had my flip-flops twice. So I took this cold shower with the broken shower curtain. And I'm like, okay, well, I feel clean. So I went into the bedroom, and by this point it was the morning time, and I was like hungry. And so they brought in, get this, I got toast with pork and beans. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, you know, I just had a baby, and this is not what I want to eat. And so, oh, your wives can laugh. Anyway, so I thought, okay, I need something. So I picked up the tea that was in the cup, and I picked it up, and all of these black ants started crawling up my arm. And I'm just like, honey, please, can you take me home? Because even at the guest house, it was really nice. But I got to tell you, Christy only cost us $62. So anyways, before we went to the field, we did take a little course. So it's like 6 weeks, I think it was 6 weeks or something, for where there is no doctor. Because basically, guys, okay, we're out there and we have to take care of ourselves, right? So we have this nurse that we can call on the radio, but basically we're it. And so I remember, like, okay, you remember our girls are little, and we're out in the middle of nowhere, and there's no way that somebody's gonna come in, and there's no way that we would even call a helicopter to get in. So we were it. So anyways, just one really quick story. Bob goes on I think he was getting supplies, and he had left. And that morning in a little school time, I'd made those little, the windmills, you know, with the chopstick, and you run, and the kids run like that. Okay, so we did that in school with Carrie and Christy and Georgie that morning. And I had said to myself, okay, because I decided to do some sewing, and I turned on the generator so I could sew, and my cord was like 6 inches off the ground. So I kept telling the girls, Christy and Carrie, do not, because they were trying to make it, you know, blow, do not run over here by mommy, because just stay away from the cord. But I should not have done that, okay? Yes, that's what happened. So Christy runs by. She has the thing in her mouth. So this chopstick that I had used, she tripped, and it went right up her throat, okay? At this point, it's like 6, 7:30 at night. Okay, so it's pitch dark. And she pokes her mouth. She screams. All I could see was blood. So I am just hysterical. Thankfully, the Basotios heard me, and so they ran to the house, and I picked up Christy, and I said, take her to Harriet, because Harriet and George were down the hill. And it was kind of rainy that night, and so it was really muddy. Yes?
I was awake for
Yes. Okay, so Bob was gone. He was on the river, and he went to get some supplies, so he wasn't there. So I literally was hysterical. I was just, like, weeping. So we finally get down there. Harriet, the Bisonio gave them to George. George gave Christy to Harriet. Harriet and Bob were kind of the ones that were the calmer ones in the village. Anyways, so I am like, okay, what am I going to do? So I got on the radio, and I am, like, screaming in this radio, anybody help me? You know, is anybody out there? Okay, so in Bisonio, they had a radio skid that started at 7:45. Wasn't that it? 7:45 at night, that was the last one. And then it goes from 7:45 to 8 o'clock, okay? So I'm yelling in this radio for anybody. But at this point, it's quarter till, and nobody is standing by. Nobody is there. Nobody is answering this radio. But even if they did, I didn't know what they could do anyways. So this is, like, really cool. The person that was supposed to be on the radio, she left. And when she left, she forgot to shut the door and turn off the light. Okay, so she was off at 7:45. Okay, and this was, like, by this point, it was almost 8 o'clock. So she left that radio door open, and there's a road that goes right past the radio shed. So you got me? There's a road, Radio Shack. I'm screaming into this radio, and this truck comes by, and he told me later that he usually leaves his window up, but that night, Dr. Tuselli had his window rolled down, and when he passed the radio shed, he heard somebody screaming into the radio. And so he stopped and came in to see what was going on. And out of everybody that could have come to the radio, it was really cool that God sent him, because he was a dentist. And he said, you know what, the best thing is just to wash the wound out. And a mouth wound is the quickest wound to heal. And that's all he said. And somehow this that peace of God just washed over me, and it just calmed my heart. So anyways, 2 weeks later, we go out to WEWAC, and we get Christy checked. And when we went into this doctor, he's from Australia, and he looked at her, and the whole mouth of her, roof of her mouth was black and blue. And he looked at me, and he wasn't a believer. And he says, I just want you to know that if that stick would have punctured her just 1/1,000th of whatever, it would have hit her jugular vein, and she would have instantly died. And I just remember, like, listening to him and just knowing that, okay, this is what I'm giving my life for God, and I'm basically giving my children to God too. But God was there, and I was just, like, so grateful to God that he does take care of us. So even though we didn't have, like, medical facilities available, God totally took care of us, and people were praying for us, and we didn't really get major, except for that, and Bob had hepatitis one time and had to be flown out. But I'm really thankful that in all these years, except for a few times with malaria, like, we did pretty good. We did really good. And that's all just thanks to the Lord. And I just want to tell you that, like, there's so many stories. Who was that? There's somebody else. Yeah, you. I know that we could write a book and we could tell you stories, and it would just be great. And I would call it The Grace of God. You know, it would be really good. And I wish we could tell you so much more. But just rejoice. You know, when we sing these songs, our God is a great God, you know? He is awesome. Like, I hope you understand. And I think that for us, we got to see the greatness of God in, like, a really close way. Like, because there are so many times where there were times where we didn't really know what would happen, but God was just so faithful. So I better stop right there, honey.
Okay, if I'm not mistaken, this session ends at 7:30 tonight. So we're gonna go for a while. But just real quickly, before you sit down, honey, does anybody have any questions about anything that you've heard from this morning or this afternoon? Any questions? We'll just take a few very quickly.
Okay,
we explained it well. All right. Stand up for 15 seconds. This is our transition into the next session here this afternoon. You may now sit down. Thank you. All right. This afternoon, we are going to have an interactive session, okay? So there's going to be some questions. There will be some prizes if you get the answers right. Okay. First question, fill in the blank. If you can fill in the blank, stand up and give the answer, okay? First one that stands up will get the prize. First question, Williamsport, Pennsylvania, home of? All right, John Tsuji gets the first one. This one, I think, is probably a little bit easier. Same thing goes, stand up. All right. Williamsport, Canton, Ohio, what is it known for? Which Hall of Fame? He's guessing. Which is it, football or baseball? Okay, I had it wrong. I don't get the prize. But you and John, at the end of this session, the lovely Vanna White, Nobi Kennel, is going to give you the snack of your choice from the Faith Bible Church snack bar, right back there. We do not go cheap here, let me tell you. But this evening, or this afternoon, what we're going to do is we're going to look at a different Hall of Fame, a Hall of Fame that has affected every one of us. It is the Faith Bible Church Hall of Fame. And we're going to look at the legacy that they left behind. Would you go to the next slide? Ooh, I've got it. How about that? All right. I would like you to look at those names. How many of you here had the privilege of meeting Kumio Tsubahara? Okay. There are a few of you around. Mas Ozaki. Mass, okay. Apparently, it's about the same people. George Fujimoto Sr., Art Nagai, Jake Kawakami, Richard Tsuji, Gladys Kaiser, Grace Armstrong, two of the pillars of Faith Bible Church back in the day, Joe Kamikawa, Howard Inouye, Walter Fukuyama, Alan Fukuda, John Nakamura, Jack Akamine, Jim Spray. I believe that all of these individuals served on the board at Faith Bible Church. These men and women were founders. They left us a very strong legacy to follow. They were passionate about two things, okay? Those individuals that you see up there on the board were passionate about two things. The first one, their desire was that Faith Bible Church remain true to the Word of God. Amen. They were passionate in their desire that we remain true to our doctrine. No compromise. The second thing that they were very passionate about was that they wanted Faith Bible Church to be a body of believers that would send missionaries to a lost and dying world. When I first came here, the pastor was Howard Inouye. Jack Akamine was the one who walked me down off the stage when I was ready to pass out. Then there was Ray Gosden, Craig Swanson. Now there is Mike Kurtz. There is a brand new board that we've got right now. And I want you men to know I appreciate you greatly because you have held the course. Faith Bible Church is still passionate about doctrine, and Faith Bible Church is passionate about sending missionaries. You men have a tremendous privilege to lead Faith Bible Church, but a tremendous responsibility as well. And that responsibility is to maintain the legacy that has been passed down to you. This afternoon, we're going to look very briefly at the lives of two men. One of them, his name is Joshua. And I'm going to ask you again, what do you recall the first time that Joshua is mentioned in the scriptures? Does anybody know when that was? Okay, I did my homework. I looked it up, so I will tell you. It is in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 10, and it's just like a little parenthesis in there. And it reads, while the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, this is before, they've just gone through the Red Sea on dry land. The Israelites are going toward Mount Sinai. And it says, while they were still at Rephidim, the warriors, not the people that lived in the city, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill, holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded, and he fought the army, the warriors of Amalek. It's interesting. Israel was not a nation of warriors at this point. They didn't have weapons. They had just left being slaves in the country of Egypt. They go across the Red Sea on dry land. They see God do miraculous things on their behalf. They're walking toward Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, and as they're en route, the gun started firing. They were blazing from over there in that corner. So anyway, that goes along with the warriors, I guess. They were not a nation of fighters. They had been in slavery for 400 years, didn't have weapons. But Joshua, in obedience to Moses, went out, fought the warriors of Amalek, and won the battle. Exodus 24, 13, when they're ready to go up the mountain, Moses is climbing up the mountain, he takes somebody with him. Who did he take? Joshua, yes. Interestingly, Moses has the privilege of going up to the top of the mountain and being there in the presence of God. He goes up into the smoke and the fire that's billowing, and he stands there face to face and talks with God. Joshua didn't have that privilege. Joshua went partway up the hill where Moses left him, and he went on up. How long did Moses stay? 40 days and 40 nights. He remained up there, got the Ten Commandments. At the end of that time, the Israelites have made an idol of gold. They made the calf. They're worshiping it. They're dancing around and reveling in it. They start down the hill. He gets halfway down, and who is still there? A faithful man, Joshua. And Joshua says, man, what's that noise? It sounds like war. And Moses said, no. It's not the sound of war. It's people reveling, living in sin. They go down, and then just two last little things about Joshua. It says in Exodus 33:11, inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. Joshua had a heart for the Lord. I don't know why it was that Moses, when the Amalekites are attacking from the rear, I don't know why it was that he went to Joshua. he had seen something in his life where Joshua stood out. And he said, if I'm going to pick a soldier, if I'm going to pick someone to go and win a victory for us, I'm going to choose him. Consequently, when Moses sent the 12 spies into Canaan, who were the only two that remained faithful? The two that remained faithful? Joshua and Caleb, okay? They came out. The other 10 men said, the land is beautiful. The fruit, look at these grapes that we carried. It took two of us to carry this bunch of grapes. The country is beautiful. It's large. It's got everything we could possibly want. But 10 of them said, but there's giants. We can't possibly defeat them. Two men stood against them, and they stood against the entire nation of Israel, Joshua and Caleb. Two men out of the entire nation of Israel that were 20 years old or older got to go into the promised land. That was Joshua and Caleb, those two alone. Now, I'm going to read some very, very sad verses to you from Joshua chapter 24, verses 29 through 31. This is after the Israelites have conquered Canaan. They've gone through the country. They defeated king after king after king because the hand of their God was upon them, okay? Joshua, because Moses couldn't go in, because Moses beat the rock instead of speaking to it, Moses was not allowed to lead the people into Canaan. It was Joshua that led them in. This is now the end of his life. He's been a faithful man. You will find nothing, nothing in the scripture where Joshua lost faith or turned against God. As he's ready to die, his last statements to the children of Israel, you know what, you guys? You're not big enough to trust in God. I believe you're going to turn against him. The Israelites said, no, we won't. No, I think you, no, we will follow God. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. That was Joshua's statement. Okay, now listen to this. Joshua 24, 29 through 31, last chapter in the book of Joshua. It says, after this, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the land he had been allocated at Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Gaash. The people of Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him. Those who had personally experienced all that the Lord had done for Israel. Those who had personally experienced it. I don't know all of the history of Faith Bible Church, but these men up here have left us a tremendous legacy. Kumio Tsubahara, I think I've told this story at church one time. There was a missionary with New Tribes Mission named Dale Palmer, and he came and spoke at Faith Bible Church. And right before he speaks, Kumio stands up and gives an announcement. And that was when Faith Bible Church was building the new building that we meet in now, okay? When that was under construction, and Kumio stood up, I don't have the exact figures, but this is the way an old man remembers it. Kumio said, the giving at Faith Bible Church from the time we started this building program, the giving for missions has dropped off from 65% to 50%. If that continues, we will stop this building program. That is one of your leaders from the past. A man who had a heart for the Lord, who had a heart for missions. And we could go on I look at some of these men up there. I love them, you guys. They love the Lord. Howard Inouye, what is he known for? Whenever he comes over to your house, what would Howard always do before he left? Pray. Every time. A man of prayer, a man who trusted God. The others, they're tremendous individuals. Some of them have passed on. Some of them are still with us. One more verse. This is from Judges chapter 2, and it's verse 7. And it's very similar to the one that we just read. It said, "And the Israelites served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the leaders who outlived him. Those who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel." My friends, the thing I want to tell you about is there's a pattern that takes place in Scripture. And that is when leaders pass on, it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget what they stood for. It's easy to forget the doctrine that they held to. It's easy to begin compromising. I want to say I'm thankful for the leaders we have here at Faith Bible Church right now. They have not compromised. They have not changed from their doctrine. I challenge you, do not. Stand firm. Stay the course. Follow faithfully. There's a problem that we are facing right now in Bisorio. There's a new generation that's coming up. The group that we told you about, man, they worship the stars. They worship, they sang songs to the moon, to the sun. They worshiped Yahweh, the sun. They found out about the Creator. They turned from that. The witch doctors, they lived in fear of the witch doctors. They would pay them continually to heal the sick. They heard what Jesus Christ had done for them. They turned from all of that, okay? Now we've got a new generation that's coming up. It's a generation that is experiencing affluence. They've got access to gold. Gold gives them access to alcohol, access to cell phones in Papua New Guinea. There's only one spot in Bisorio land where you can get a signal to call out on a telephone. You walk a mile from where my house is, go down to the end of the airstrip, hold your phone up, and you'll go down there sometimes, see five or six guys just looking for a signal. The phones that they get, they come with pornography on them, already there for the guys to start looking at and start lusting after. They've got access to drugs, alcohol, gold. Some of them have become indifferent to the Lord. And it's brought about by the affluence which they experience, and they've gotten to the place where some of them are apathetic. And it breaks my heart, you guys. It breaks my heart for this younger generation. I used to be able to come back here to Faith Bible Church and say the Bisorio Nation is 90 to 95% believers in Jesus Christ. I can't say that anymore, you guys, because the younger generation is turning away from the Lord. And I just want to give you guys a caution. You live in, if not the most affluent, you're at least up there at number two, affluent city in the United States of America. You've got so many things you can do. It's what we love coming here. We love coming here and visiting. But you've got the Mariners. You've got the Seahawks. I'm sorry, you've got this. No, I didn't say that. We'll talk about 49ers tomorrow. You've got skiing in the winter. You've got Mount Rainier. You've got the Space Needle. You have got a beautiful city. You do. With all of the things you do that you've got, please do not allow affluence to take your heart away from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not allow things to get in the way of your walking with God and serving Him. On one of our previous trips, Nobi and I were in our last week before leaving the tribe. Word came in that a child, a very young grandson of one of our leaders, had passed away. And this guy just broke down crying, our leader. And I said, Tsuduama, I want you to go. He was over in the gold fields. He was at least a three-day walk away. I said, go over and spend time with him. He said, Bob, you're leaving next week. I said, I don't care. That's your grandson. That's your daughter. They need you. He said, no. He said, you're leaving next week. What we're going to do is we're going to try to get them to come over here. And they did. They came. They made the three-day walk. They came over. And Tsuduama had said, man, I'd like you to spend time with them. Well, the night before we left, we're going to get up early the next morning, leave Bisorio land. A woman comes over. It was Badamiase's wife, the mother whose baby boy had just died that week. She came over and she said, Bob, Badamiase and I would like to come. Bartimaeus, that's his name. That's how they say it, Badamiase. He said, we would like to come over and just spend some time and talk to you if we could. I said, great. I said, you come. I said, I've got time for you. So I waited. They came over. We went down to my office, and she sat there and just started bawling. And the husband did too. And they told me the story about how they were over at the place where they were panning for gold. And in the morning, they got up, and their son got a fever, got sick. They sat there with him. They rocked him all day. They tried to put cool water on his head to take the fever away. And they said at noon, he passed away. The man looked me in the eye, and he said, Bob, he said, I'm going to be honest with you. He said, I would go over, spend time working for gold. When I would get the gold, I would sell it, and I would go and buy beer. Or sometimes, and they call it factory made. It's whiskey. It's the stuff that they put out in factories. That's their name for it. He said, I would buy beer. If I'd have enough money, I would buy whiskey. I would get drunk. My wife begged me to stop. She begged me, don't waste your money on that garbage. He told me, he said, Bob, I didn't listen. And he said, I believe with all my heart, God has permitted my child to pass away because I was disobedient, because I was not paying attention to God. I was not taking care of my wife. I was not taking care of my little child. And he said, I believe God did this to get my attention. And he said, I'm telling you right now, I want to follow God. I am turning from the way I used to live. I'm turning from the liquor that used to consume my life. I want to follow God. And I want you to pray for us that we will be faithful in that. I said, Bottom, yes, I will. I will. The next time we came back, he was one of the first ones that came over. He had started playing guitar in church. He's been following the Lord. Now, the last time I went back, he had been speaking in church. And the leaders are discipling him, and he's stepping up. My friends, that is what we need at Faith Bible Church. We need men and women. We're going to look at one more man in our next 5 minutes, okay? Which will drag on to 10, and I will keep you here without batting an eye. All right. The other gentleman that I want to mention, his name is the Apostle Paul. Paul's first missionary journey, he went to Galatia. His first stop in Galatia, after leaving the Isle of Patmos, no, not the Isle of Patmos, Salamis. I don't have it written down. I'm probably telling you lies. I'm not doing it on purpose. But he went to Perga, That was where John Mark got cold feet and went home. They then traveled overland to Antioch of Pisidia. That was where a mob chased them away. They went to Iconium, then Lystra. At Lystra, Paul was stoned. They left him for dead. They thought he was dead. He gets up. I would have run. I would have gone the other way, not Paul. He goes back into Lystra, spends the night there. The next day, he goes on down to Derbe. At the end of that time, he goes back to every city that he had taught in on his way there, and he established leaders, he ordained elders, and he encouraged the people in the Lord. Okay. A year later, Paul's going back to the same area. There's a young man there, and his name is Timothy. Timothy had a good reputation. I'm going to read to you 2 Timothy. Acts 16, 1 through 3. I want you guys to read it. But it just taught, the only thing it says about Timothy, it says that there was a young man there that lived in Lystra. He had a good reputation in Lystra and Iconium. Paul heard about the reputation. He heard that he was a man who had a heart for God. And he said, Timothy, I want you to travel with me. We're going to go on a long journey, but I would like you to be with me. I want to disciple you. I want you to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Timothy, he was probably thinking back, well, now a year ago, the guys that were following you, you were stoned to death, and the others weren't doing too good either. But he didn't. He said, yes, I will travel with you. To where, at the end of Paul's life, at the end of his life, he writes a letter to Timothy. It's the last letter he writes in the New Testament. And he says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. My friends, Faith Bible Church, thank you, sir. Faith Bible Church needs soldiers. Faith Bible Church needs people who are willing to endure suffering, if that's what it's called for, but it needs people who are going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Where did our current board come from? Where did our pastor come from? You know what? Pastor Mike has been here at Faith Bible Church for a number of years. He was a faithful man. He was a faithful man, and somebody came alongside and said, he's got a good reputation. He's a man that I would like to work with. To where now, he is your pastor here at Faith Bible. The board of elders, Kenji, I know Kenji spent time with his father-in-law. Okay. Howard E. Noy had a huge impact upon his life. The other men that we were looking at earlier made a huge impact on the people in this church. What we need and what the board wants is that there will be another generation. Richard Tsuji had a huge impact on his life. John has an impact on his children. They're walking with God. They're following him. We need soldiers. We need more people. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged being here and seeing the way that this conference came together. I got the emails coming out over the last several weeks. The team is coming together. We've got somebody taking care of snacks. Did a fantastic job. I haven't been able to enjoy it as much as I would like to, but I want to. You guys, you function together. You're a body of believers. We went over to Thailand. The program was laid out so well. You people did an excellent job over there. Everything was ready. When we got there, we rolled as we did the VBS for the School of Promise. You've got people that function, but I want to state, we don't have enough. We don't have the next generation. There are people here that are gaining a good reputation. What I say is, please, please step up. I would love to read to you from Romans chapter 1, from Romans chapter 12. I'm going to, real quickly. Can we just go there? And I will close with this. I assure you. Okay. Thank you, brother. That's what I was wanting to hear. Get clap for you. Thank you. All right. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Listen to this, please. And so, dear brothers and sisters, and this is what Paul said, I plead with you. Isn't that incredible? The Apostle Paul said, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. He bought you with his blood on the cross of Calvary. You do not belong to yourself. You belong to him. He goes on, give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We, in this room right here, we are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Finally, verses 6 to 8, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Each member of the body functioning together, God has given each one of you a special ability. God has given to every member in this room a special gift, a special ability, a gift of the Spirit. If you do not function in that gift, the body is hurting. If my leg is broken, I can't walk. And if you are a leg and you're not functioning, you're hurting the body of Christ. We need people to step up. We need legacies to be left behind. We need two kinds of people in here. And I hope you're both of them. I hope for one, you're a disciple. I hope you're spending time with someone so that they can pour their lives into you. And I hope that you're spending time with someone else so that you can disciple them and encourage them in their walk with the Lord. And if we do this, Faith Bible Church will continue to walk before God. They will continue to hold to the doctrine that has been passed down to them. They will continue to be a body of men and women that's got a heart for the Lord, that's got a heart for reaching the lost. And I'm warning you right now, if you don't want to hear about that, don't come tomorrow morning. because that's what we're talking about. You guys, we need men and women that function in the gifts that God has given to them. We've got Timothys, we've got Timothenas, we've got Bartimaeuses right here in this room. But we need you to step up. We need you to function. We need you to hold to our doctrine. We need you to function in the gift that God has given you for the sake of our body. And I'm going to do one more thing right now. They do not know this, but I would like our board of elders, if you would please come forward. Board of elders, come on, quickly, men. As many as you as are here. They were not aware that we were going to do this. But I just think, for one thing, I would like you to give a hand to these men for the labor that they put in on our behalf. The other thing that I would like you to do is stand and join with me as we pray for them, okay? Let's pray, please. Father, we thank you for the men that went before us in this church, for the legacy that they passed down. I pray for our board. I pray, Lord, that they will remain faithful to you, that they will walk in the Spirit, that they will be students of the Word of God, that they will be men who are disciplers of others. Lord, I pray that they will remain faithful to you no matter what the cost, that they will be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. I pray that the things that this church is based upon and stands upon, that they will remain faithful to it. And Father, I pray for the congregation that's here. Lord, we've got Timothys. We've got ladies that are functioning, but we need more. We need faithful men and women that will carry on, that will remain faithful and true to you, that desire to be discipled, that desire to grow. Father, we pray that you will continue to raise up the next generation. Father, it's not enough for us to see faithfulness, but the people have got to respond and they've got to desire. He who desires to be a leader desires a good thing. Lord, I pray that you will raise up men and women who will faithfully walk with you and follow you. We pray for these men. We pray that you will continue to strengthen them with your might and your power in their inner beings. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, men.